Are you a student in college? Are you stressed and anxious? Of course you are. Hi, my name is Owen, and as a college student, stuff can really suck sometimes, but we are not alone. This is why I started the College Unlicensed Therapist Podcast, a weekly podcast from a college student for college students to get you through the mental wear and tear of college. All right, so let's get right into the first ever episode of College Unlicensed Therapist. And in this specific episode, on our first episode today, I'm really, really excited. We have a lot of good things to talk about today. Today's episode will be mainly talking about OCD, what OCD is, the different forms, some of the things I struggle with OCD. We'll also be talking about just general anxiety in general. General anxiety, obviously. And then we will transition into a interview I actually got to do with a licensed therapist. So stay tuned for that, and we will get right into the episode. So as I said, we were talking about OCD, and you know, a lot of people, they think of OCD, you're constantly checking things. Everything needs to be neat. You know, you gotta take a mouse and you gotta even it out, or you gotta move stuff, or think of it as, you know, constantly washing your hands, constantly using Purell. I mean, that is definitely part of it, but there's so much more that people struggle with, and in general, and especially, you know, college students. For myself, being in college, you know, I can find it difficult to, you know, get through some days when my OCD is really bad, and not just, you know, the checking on stuff, but you know, there's a form, you know, intrusive thoughts is something that, you know, you get in your head these thoughts, and you know, you convince yourself that, oh, they must mean something about you, and you can't get them out of your head. You know, it can be really dark, and it can make me, you know, think things about myself, and then I can't get through the day. And, you know, cause I'm just so focused on that I can't do the tasks that I need to do as a college student. And, you know, sometimes it's obviously it's good to work on these things. Sometimes you just gotta, you know, push through the day. And that's some of the things I struggle with OCD. And, you know, there's just so many forms of OCD. I mean, I can really, you know, get into even more of them. I mean, some of it is, you know, it can be, there's a form called actually harm OCD, which is sort of like, intrusive thoughts. It's kind of like, you know, you're worried that, you know, someone's going to hurt you, or you're not going to be able to control yourself, and you're going to hurt someone or something crazy like that, because you're just so stuck in your brain trying to be a good person that you convince yourself that, oh my God, like I'm going to do these bad, you know, things. And some of the stuff I do is, you know, talking with your parents, if your parents are there for you. I mean, obviously therapy, but the problem with, you know, it can be so expensive. So that's, you know, some of the stuff that can be really difficult to, you know, get that mental health you need. But there is lots of tips online. There's coping strategy apps. There's so many things you can do. And some of the stuff that I've learned from my therapist, if you're struggling with OCD or just general anxiety, as we talked about, we're going to talk about that later in general. You know, there's, you know, a tapping technique where you just kind of tap different part of your body and just reaffirming things about yourself. You know, that I am a good person, stuff like that. And there's also, of course, you know, there's different breathing techniques. And, you know, speaking of breathing techniques, it's very, very, you know, important to learn these different techniques. And even with the tapping and just breathing, you know, you can't just do them once and then say, and never do it again. It's something I struggle with. You gotta, you know, keep it consistent. So, you know, I would say this is a really basic one, but the breathing technique of the week would just be, you know, basic deep breaths, you know, counting to five in and then out your mouth, in your nose, out your mouth. I mean, it's so basic, and obviously everyone's heard of that, and this is nothing new that I'm telling you, but what I'm telling you is that in college, especially when you're feeling that high stress, feeling, you know, struggling with anxiety, general anxiety, OCD, is that's what you want to do, is breathe in and out, and just, you know, count in that breath, breathe out, and just do that. It will be really, really helpful. And then the tapping reaffirmation stuff is also just so, so key. And then just you know, I feel like I'm rambling here, but it's just, you know, something I'm really passionate about is, you know, the mental health in general, and not just OCD, but general anxiety. I mean, especially now with finals and everything, you know, your anxiety can really, you know, wear you down, and it's hard to get through finals, but, you know, you don't want to just, sometimes it's better to just really, you know, it's never good to just bottle stuff inside you, but it's not a big deal if you're bottling stuff inside you for, you know, the next week, when you really need to focus on your work and not necessarily your mental health. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but it can be better to just, you know, buckle in, you know, bear down and just get what you need to get done. So that's some of the, you know, advice I have, is just to not necessarily ignore the general anxiety, but especially in final season, you know, you can kind of just, like, you know, get your work done and then, you know, do what you need to do with your mental health. That is obviously so, so important. And it does take over a precedent over, you know, schoolwork. You know, if you're not feeling mentally good, you're not going to, you know, produce the best work that you need to do and all that stuff. So, you know, that's just what I feel. So, that is basically what I have to say so far, but I hope you guys are still around listening right now, because we are going to get right into the interview coming up next here. And I also want to just say that this is something that I'm just so passionate about, and I had a really great time interviewing this person. So I hope you guys stay tuned and listen to this interview coming up. Now, guys, before we get into the interview, I just want to talk about our sponsor of today's episode, Talkspace.com. Are you looking for an easier way to get therapy that you cannot travel, for instance, you just don't have the time? Well, Talkspace has online therapy appointments. And if you sign up with my code, College Therapist in all capitals, you can get 20% off your first online therapy appointment. Hi, how's it going, guys? I'm here with Dominic Vogas. He's a licensed therapist who works with students from middle school to high school. And I'm just going to talk today with him about OCD and general anxiety. And first of all, I just want to, you know, ask where you got your start in therapy and psychology.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on the podcast, Owen. So, you know, I think my interest really started in summer camp and as a summer camp counselor. And, you know, there were a few kids there that I, you know, looking back now, I realized that they were struggling with, you know, some significant mental health issues. And, you know, at the time, I really enjoyed working with those kids and, you know, getting them engaged in summer camp, whereas there were other times where they really weren't getting engaged. So, you know, that sparked my interest in psychology and sociology, which I majored in both of those when I went to Holy Cross for my undergrad. And I tried, like, the research side of it, because I was really interested in psychology and, you know, how the human mind works. And I found that I, you know, as soon as I went into the research side, it kind of lost its meaning for me, because it was very divorced from, you know, what really initially drew me there, which was, you know, those one-on-one interactions that are so important. So then I went to Boston College for my master's of social work. I graduated there in 2017. I worked briefly while I was in grad school, I worked briefly at an inpatient unit as, like, a residential counselor. So not doing therapy, but helping out with, you know, one-on-one, you know, get through your ADLs, get through your sort of day-to-day stuff. And then I joined NEA once I had graduated and could now be a licensed therapist. And I've been here since. So, you know, since I've graduated, I have gotten my independent license, which is, you know, was a big step for my career. You know, you start out with a license where you can practice therapy or social work under a supervisor. With an independent license, you have to work 2 years and then, you know, take a test and get that independent license. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. Love being at NEA. Don't see myself leaving anytime soon. So it's been a really great place to learn and grow.
Yeah. And so I just have some questions about how it's going right now in terms of COVID. Is, you know, when you have kids in your office, is it, difficult right now? Do you have to wear a mask? Anything's restricted at schools right now?
Or is it? Yeah. So right now for us, because we're in such a small enclosed area, you know, when you're counseling somebody, we both have to wear masks. I think that initially that was a big struggle. I think I've gotten used to it then, and all the students I see don't really seem too bothered by it. You know, I'd say the only time it really is difficult and, you know, where it can get in the way is, you know, if somebody's really having a hard time, really talking about something hard and gets really emotional. And, you know, you can imagine that, you know, if you're crying or breathing heavy, like the mask is really going to, you know, get in the way. So, you know, other than that, you know, I feel pretty safe day to day. You know, I think most people have gotten vaccinated, since I see mostly older students. And I myself am vaccinated, so that's definitely made things a lot easier.
Yeah, and, you know, I just wanted to ask a few things about, like, what your main focus on, if there's any area of study that you, or anything that you focus on specifically when you have, you know, are working with someone. Is there anything that you focus on, any strategies that you really hone in on in your work?
Yeah, I would, you know, I would say I lean on a few things. You know, I think that cognitive behavioral therapy, you know, which is a pretty common, you know, form of therapy. Like if you go to a therapist, they're most likely using CBT in some way. And basically with CBT, you help somebody identify their thoughts and identify how those thoughts could be distorted and how they could be affecting their feelings, and then how those feelings affect their behavior, and then how the behavior affects the thoughts, and trying to take these really kind of unhealthy negative thought cycles and feeling and acting cycles into more positive ways. So I use that a lot. I think I also, you know, I find myself really valuing the relationship. I think that's something that's really important, and, you know, always making sure that you're coming from a place where you're trusting each other. Because without that, it's really, there's not much in terms of work to be done. And, you know, often you'll hear that referred to as like a relational model. So I would say, you know, I focus pretty heavily on CBT and using that CBT within that relational model.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just in terms of the episode, you know, I was kind of also talking about, you know, OCD and anxiety. And do you feel like there's a relationship, or do you feel like they're very similar and almost interchangeable in a way? Or what are your thoughts on that? And do you work in OCD realm at all? Or are you more just focused on anxiety?
Yeah, so I work with students who, you know, suffer from both, you know, more generalized anxiety or phobias versus OCD as well. You know, I think I found that the main difference is that there's a lot of overlap, but with OCD, you have to be really regimented and really careful that you're not sort of accommodating somebody's behaviors. And you find the similar thing with anxiety, right? But I think that with OCD, you have to do it on a more kind of granular level. Where, you know, if you're helping somebody overcome an obsession or a compulsion, or work towards overcoming an obsession or compulsion, you have to be really careful about how you interact with them and that you're not somehow accommodating it. An example that I could think of is, you know, if somebody has, you know, so OCD around contamination, you want to be really sort of mindful. And this is tough with COVID too, because talk about two things that just don't meld well, a pandemic and contamination fears. You want to make sure that you're not sort of, you know, setting that person up so that you're encouraging or allowing them to do behaviors. Sorry, did I get cut off?
No, I was saying giving in, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Giving in. Right. Right. And, you know, I think that, you know, there's a lot more little things you have to think of versus anxiety, where, yeah, you want to make sure that you're not accommodating somebody's anxiety and making it worse, right? You want to make sure that you're pushing them outside their comfort zone to fight the anxiety. But I find that it's, you know, a lot, I think you don't have to be quite as careful and thoughtful Whereas the OCD is really a more sort of learned skill set.
Yeah, that makes sense. And also just, you know, on a general basis, you know, you've been a therapist for a little while now. Is there anything that, and obviously you're still doing it, so you don't dislike it, but is there anything you dislike about being a therapist just in general or about the times we're in that you just find frustrating at all?
So I will tell you, when we went remote, which our school went when COVID first initially hit, we had to be remote and I had to do sort of telehealth counseling. And I found that I really don't enjoy that. I find that it's really, really difficult to connect with somebody and do my job and feel fulfilled when it's only virtual. That being said, I mean, I think virtual can fill holes here and there. You know, I've certainly liked being able to use that if somebody's having a hard time getting to school. But yeah, that was something that I really didn't enjoy. But I think more generally, probably the hardest part for me is, you know, working within the system. You know, the mental health system, Massachusetts, we're relatively fortunate, has a decent system compared to some of the other 50 states, but it's a really imperfect system that has been overwhelmed even before COVID, and now you throw COVID on top of it and it's just, it's a total mess. So I think what I really struggle with in this job is knowing what I need to do, knowing what supports I need to get my student, and then running up against the system where, you know, that's not available either because that service isn't out there or that service is just totally full because there's really a mental health crisis right now. And that's probably the most frustrating and honestly, you know, disappointing parts of my job.
Yeah. And that I was, you know, kind of expecting that. A lot of people don't like the, you know, virtual stuff, whether it's therapy or just, you know, class. You don't, in college, you don't really learn as much online. So, you know, just speaking of college and stuff like that, have you ever worked with anyone in college on therapy, or do you feel like there's a big difference when you're working with someone in high school versus college? Or do you think that a lot of the stuff they talk about is still kind of similar?
You know, I've never worked with somebody enrolled in college, but I've worked with people around that age. I think the biggest difference, and really this is kind of at the line of when somebody turns 18. And I know often they say, like, when you turn 18, you know, not much changes, but a lot changes, you know, because now you're legally an adult, but a lot of you're not really functioning fully as an adult within our society. But a big difference is that, you know, there are often situations where when I'm working with a student, this is another hard part of my job, where, you know, it's something that they're sharing with me that's really hard to share, but there's also a safety concern. And then I have to kind of loop the parents in, and there's not a lot of choice there for me. You know, there are certain things that are just very black and white. And, you know, that's okay for a lot of people, but for some people, you know, they might have a really complex family or an unhealthy family environment, and that can make things worse, unfortunately. So I think that when somebody is 18, you know, they're an adult and you don't have to do quite as much of that, which can be good and bad. You know, it can be good in that sometimes you don't get caught in that unhealthy family cycle, or, you know, you let the person kind of have a lot more autonomy. And it can be bad sometimes in that, you know, sometimes it would be really helpful to be able to just get to say, like, look, legally, I have to pull your family in, and kind of make the decision for that person when they're having a really hard time. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And, I just think, yeah, that does make a lot of sense. And then just one last question here before, like, we wrap up on everything, but, speaking of just, like, you know, the issues in general, you were talking about with, like, the system and stuff, big, you know, rise in mental health, you know, crisis with COVID and everything. Do you feel like there's a chance that it could really get worse because of just the, you know, cost it can be for someone who really needs help? It might be too expensive for them to get into therapy, and that therapy can be hard to find someone that works for you. Do you think that there's a problem with that going forward? Do you think it's something that can be resolved?
Yeah, it's hard. You know, I would love to see... I would really love to see, you know, the state put a lot, and honestly across the country, put a lot more money into, you know, mental health services and providing services that are free or reimbursed by insurance. Because what I'm finding now is, you know, I have a split where there are some students I have whose families can access things and pay out of pocket. And, you know, the level of services they get and the quickness to which they can get those services is significantly better compared to students who have to try to go through their insurance. Exactly. And it's just, it's a big headache. And I have to say, somebody who has worked in an outpatient center before, having to bill for insurance is really tedious and really frustrating, and you often don't get compensated as well. So, you know, I think that I could see it getting worse, certainly. And I think it's already gotten worse because you have that gap. And I would love to see, you know, somebody do something about that and try to, it'll probably never be perfect, but kind of, you know, close the gap a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, just thinking, because, you know, the U.S. Surgeon General, which usually they talk about physical stuff. The other day, they just came out and talked about how there was a youth mental health crisis. And that was something rare for the, you know, U.S. Surgeon General to talk about. Usually they're talking, you know, about physical stuff like, you know, obesity in the country or something, which is also getting worse. But that's beside the point. So that's just something I was curious about. But I think I got a lot of good stuff. And I, you know, I really appreciate you coming onto the podcast and just sharing with what you had with me. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Owen. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Hey, guys, I just want to bring it back here. Thank you so much for listening to the first ever episode of College Unlicensed Therapist. I just want to wrap up by saying I am really, really grateful for this opportunity to be recording a podcast on something that I'm passionate about. And I also want to thank my guest, Dominic Vogas, for coming onto the podcast and providing a lot of great content through his interview. And I hope you guys check out my social media at College Therapist Pod on Twitter. And lastly, I just want to thank our sponsor, Talkspace.com. And once again, use the code COLLEGETHERAPIST for 20% off your online therapy appointment, your first online therapy appointment, that is. So just want to say thank you guys so much once again, and tune in for the next episode, which we will be talking about, you know, sort of just the final season and how I got through that. And I'll also be talking with some other college students on the podcast about how they got through it as well. So thank you guys so much, and tune in next week for the next episode. Bye-bye.